This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
An insider's look at the National Football League. It's NFL Lunch,
presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse,
with Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Ravens back at practice today. Was it 145, I believe? Had a one winning drive. First place on the line. Steelers. Steelers have won four in a row, undefeated with Russell Wilson as the starting quarterback.
140.
Then it's open locker room tomorrow. Back to the regular media scrum. But John Harbaugh met with the media yesterday. We'll hear from him in a couple of seconds. But let's get out to the phones. It is Steelers week. Ravens are 3.5-point favorites on the road. Acrisure, 1 o'clock kickoff up there. Is that an appropriate line? If I'm a Pittsburgh fan, I'm like, what the hell?
Right.
We're 7-2. We're 7-1 against you last few years, and we're underdogs at home. What's up with that? Let's go to Kai in Reisterstown. Kai, what's up? Kai.
This is still a big rivalry, in my opinion. I don't care who's playing. Look, Benny, I think we need to, if we win a coin toss, I think we need to take the ball, because I think our offense is our defense right now, in my opinion. I think we need to come out with a sense of urgency, you know, some tempo, and just play the first play like it's out, like we need that touchdown, like when we're behind in those games and they come back. Just play with a sense of urgency and just try to make the right decisions on offense, because I think this game, I don't think this game going to be a high-scoring game like the Bengals. I just think it's going to be like a under 50 type of game. But I think defensively, man, we might what about Tre'Davious? I don't know how much time he got in there yet, but maybe move him to safety. You know what I mean? Because he played a little safety in college. I looked him up. And also, the running game. Don't go away from it, man, because they're gonna try to bang their head on a brick wall, and it's gonna be like that because Watt and those guys on the outside. But you know, they can play, and Pittsburgh missing some guys, so everybody keeps talking about how we missing Hamilton. Hamilton might not play, so that might change the whole dynamic of the defense. But I think we got this, fellas. And Haney, did you check out? Did you check out Abdullah Mason? I gave you a home assignment, man, with the boxing. The kid, Abdullah Mason.
Did you check him out? I saw Keyshawn Davis knock that dude out, and then I watched Boots Ennis on Saturday. I did not see Abdullah Mason. I apologize.
I like Keyshawn Davis, but he got a hold. Come on, man. He's calling out Tank now, man.
Yeah,
you
got
to go through a few other guys before you – come on, you got to go through a few other guys.
How about Shakur Stevenson? Tank, let's get through that gauntlet first. You know what I mean?
Well, they're not going to fight. You're talking about Foss Tank?
No. Keyshawn Davis.
No, they're not going to fight. They boys. They're not going to fight.
Well, then what's the point of even having boxing? Hey, real quick, Kai, because we got to get to John Harbaugh. Tyson, Paul, the real, fake, what do we got here? We got a real fighter, just some Vince McMahon nonsense going on.
Let me just say this. It's a real fake fight. if you know what I mean.
Yes. It's imitation crab.
Yeah.
All right, Kai. Yeah. Imitation crab's all right if you season it with, I don't know, Old Bay butter and other, like, real crab or something like that. But anyway, it's Vinny and Andy, 105.7 The Fan, NFL Lunch. Let's get back to John Harbaugh if you're just tuning in. John Harbaugh yesterday was talking about Justin Tucker's recent run of bad luck here, I guess.
I mean, that's how I would describe it. I'd really rather lean on what Justin would say. You know, I don't want to speak for him on any kick, you know, other than great kick. But I watch him in practice. I watch the practice tape, and he's doing great. You know, he's been kicking the ball super well. But he's had some of these that just haven't gone through for him, you know, and those are broken down, you know, inch by inch. That's what we do, break them down inch by inch, and he's his own biggest critic for sure. So I think by his standard, he'd probably say that.
Well, this is like the first kind of adversity they've had over the past few weeks. So when he breaks it down, what's he finding? Because he hadn't corrected it. You know, we thought it was corrected. Then he went back. You know, I mean, he finally doinked one to the right, the PAT. You know, or which one was the right one?
It was the PAT.
Yeah, and then he. You know, then to the far left. I mean, he's got to do a couple games in a row. I mean,
well, if he's kicking it great and super well, why are we even having this conversation? That's what question I'm asking,
right,
Nolan?
Why? That's my gripe, and I know it's coach speak, and you can't dig too deep into what's said publicly because that's always going to be a little bit different than how they truly feel. But for some reason, this has just been bothering me a ton this season. The coach speak when it comes to Tucker. Every time they ask him about it, there's nothing to see here. Don't. It's all good. There's no issues here. He's the best. He knows how to fix it. And then it keeps happening. And not only does it keep happening, but it's no longer just the one issue. Remember, he always missed on
over
the long.
Over 50, yeah.
Right. From plus 50, and they were drifting left. Well, now it's all over the place. He's hitting uprights. He's missing right. He's missing short. He's missing long. I think there's something to see here, whether the coach wants to say it or not.
And just tuning in again to the program, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, Nolan McGraw, turn it up Tuesday. Sunday in Pittsburgh, it's 4:10. Ravens are down by a point or two.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 45-yarder to win it. What's your confidence level in Justin Tucker right now?
What
2 years ago, it's 100%.
76%. Isn't that what he's making?
He's like 78.9.
Yeah, that's
lifetime, it's over 90.
I mean, I'm not getting up and walking away. I'm nervous when he's kicking.
Oh, no doubt.
Right. In the past, the only thing that would stop them was a block. He's going to get the ball out clean. If it gets blocked at the line, that's a different story. But if it gets over the line, he's making it. Now, I think I said earlier, 50-50, it's where I'm at.
And if it wasn't down the middle, it'd be like, damn, he missed it a little bit. You know, it might be a little right or a little left, but it was still through.
Now, if he starts missing short, then we got a real problem.
Yeah.
Then he's domed up, to borrow a phrase from Ryan Ripken there. And finally here on NFL Lunch, Ravens struggling against Pittsburgh. What's it, 7-1, the Steelers are, against the Ravens last 8 games. So, John Harbaugh, what's the deal with that?
Yeah, I think that... that they played well against us, and we haven't played well against them.
Okay.
In that sense, you know, as far as moving the ball and scoring points and all that. So this is a new game. You know, we don't live in the past, and we're moving forward and trying to. And we don't live in the past game. We don't live in the past record. You know, none of that matters. It's the next game. No matter what happens, you got to get ready for the next football game in the National Football League. So, but we'll look at it. You know, scientifically, you go back and watch all the games.
Last time they played, the Ravens benched half their starters because they'd already clinched the number one seed. Pittsburgh needed to win and get in, and they did. But as Kevin Ostreicher pointed out a couple hours ago, Lamar Jackson hasn't played them twice in forever. I don't think ever since he's been the starter.
I mean, to me, this is, and Lamar's got extra rest days too. You know, so his knee and back or whatever. You know what's kind of interesting? I was just looking at their stats. There are two leading tacklers on this great defense. Former Ravens.
Patrick Queen and?
Deshaun Elliott.
Oh, that's right. The oft-injured safety.
Elliott's their leading tackler.
Texas. Well, Ravens are 3.5-point favorites. We'll do our picks on Friday. And I'm not even going to start. I'm not leaking anything. Not say I'm gonna pipe down. No predictions yet. When we come back, talk about the Feeble Five. What is that if you're new to the show? It's the five worst teams in the NFL through 10 weeks. I mean, there's a lot of, we talk about the good teams building up equity. Well, you've built up a lot of suckage. That's why you're in the Feeble Five. We're going to find out who they are. And then we're going to talk Maryland football and basketball with Jeff Ehrman from InsideMDSports.com. Terps are 3-0 on the men's side. They do lose their top recruit for 25 in Marcus Jackson. Any chance he comes back with a bigger bag? And we'll preview Marquette a little bit. And for Mike Loxley, 1-5 in the Big Ten. They host Rutgers. Any hopes of getting to a bowl game rest on this game for sure.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
How in the world?
Vinny and Haney's Feeble Five.
It has been a nightmare for this team.
The handful of teams we wish the Ravens were playing.
You suck.
105.7 The Fan.
Well, we wish they were playing crap teams. Ravens, they have the Steelers come up. The marquee matchup, with all due respect to Buffalo, Kansas City, for week number 11. But we're 10 weeks into this season. That is 2024. We're less than, what? Thanksgiving's 16 days from now.
Yeah.
It's insanity, man. But a lot of teams stink. And five stand out more than any others in the negative department. We did you the Dirty Dozen earlier, led by Kansas City. And rightfully so, they are undefeated. But who are the Feeble Five, the five worst teams?
All right, week 10 summary. Number one, New Orleans. They won. Number two, Carolina. They won two in a row. Number three, New England. They won. Then number four was Jacksonville, and five was the Giants. So, coming in at number five, 2-7 Cleveland.
You suck!
They were on bye. They're at New Orleans. Now, in the first three quarters of games this season, the Browns have been outscored 186-88.
Yeah, and you saw what happened their last game against the Chargers.
Yeah.
Jameis Winston threw three picks and was sacked six times, which we all thought the Ravens were going to do to them, and they didn't. And
by
I guess
way,
that fourth quarter thing, a lot of it had to do with the Baltimore game.
Yeah.
I was going to say, entering the Feeble Five on a bye week, that's a new one.
Yeah.
That's really special.
Well, the other teams won.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
They eked in. Good for them.
Yeah. But Brian Batko, he did tell me, Bob, that because the Steelers play Cleveland on a Thursday night, Cleveland always plays the Steelers really tough.
Well, it's a rivalry game.
Yep.
For years and years and years.
Coming in at 4, 3-6 Dallas.
You suck.
They lost to Philly 34-6. And they're playing Houston on Monday night. Ugh. Now, in their six losses, the Cowboys, they're allowing 35 points per game.
Other than that, everything's great. Why no Trey Lance here?
They said that, I was reading where he may start this week.
Because Cooper Rush.
Oh, he was horrible.
Yeah, didn't really have it going. But Trey Lance, don't forget everybody, was the third pick in the draft just a couple of seasons
and
ago.
And he's a free agent after the season, so you might as well find out.
Why not?
Coming in at 3. 2-7 Las Vegas.
You suck!
And you know what, Norm? They had a bye, too. They're at Miami. The Raiders now the NFL worst, minus 14 turnover differential.
Jesus. And who's the quarterback this week? Is it Minshew or is it O'Connell? Doesn't really matter.
No. Coming in at 2. 2-8 Jacksonville.
You suck.
They lost to the Vikings 12-7. They're at Detroit. Jacksonville has been outscored 91-50 in the fourth quarter. They got to play the Ravens.
Well, it was Mac Jones this past Sunday, and he wasn't all that great.
No.
At the end, we talked about him. He's taking a step back. And they signed Gabe Davis, among others, in the offseason. And I know Trevor Lawrence didn't play, but boy, Gabe Davis. How the mighty big game Gabe. Not so much.
Coming in at number 1. 2-8 New York Giants.
You suck.
They lost to Carolina 2017 in overtime. They're on bye. Since Tom Coughlin stepped down after the 2015 season, the Giants are 51-91-1.
That sucks. And what really sucks for them is they have a major quarterback problem.
Oh, major.
Because Jones has an injury clause where if he gets hurt, they're going to owe him $30 million. So I would expect that they'll be pining him somewhat similar to what Vegas did with Carr a couple of years ago.
No doubt. I mean, how about the record in that stadium for Jets and Giants? Oof, though.
Yeah, New Jersey Jets and Giants having some fun. Best team in the state of New York's the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah. All right, so in summary, number 1's the Giants, 2's Jacksonville, 3's Vegas, 4 Dallas, 5 Cleveland. But there's a lot of candidates. I mean, it's not easy picking the worst 5.
It's 5880-1057, the Fan, your schedule for Week 11 in the NFL starts Thursday night. Commanders at Eagles, Philadelphia 3.5-point favorites, first place on the line here. Eagles playing really good football. Washington coming off a disappointing loss at home to the Pittsburgh Steelers, who host the Ravens Sunday at 1 o'clock. Ravens 3.5-point favorites there. First place on the line. AFC North. Packers at the Bears. Green Bay minus 6.5. Jacksonville's at Detroit. Lions 13-point favorites in that one. Vikings at Tennessee. Minnesota minus 6. Raiders at Dolphins, as Vinny said earlier. Miami minus 7.5. Rams at New England. LA minus 5. Cleveland's at New Orleans. Saints minus 1. Colts sticking with Flacco at the Jets. Jets minus 3.5. Atlanta's at Denver. Broncos minus 2. Needless to say, Denver needs that win. And Atlanta does too. I mean, they're still in a position of strength in that division because Tampa keeps losing. But Seattle's at San Francisco. 49ers minus 6.5. I think Seattle's teetering on falling out of things here.
They're coming off a bye, and that's a game that they have to win.
Kansas City's at Buffalo. Bills minus 2.5 Sunday night. Nate Davis said the winner of this team probably could punch their ticket to the playoffs. Yeah, I don't know about all that, especially from a Bengals perspective, but Chargers minus 1.5 Monday Night Football. As Vinny said, Houston's at Dallas. Houston 7.5-point favorites.
Oh, yeah.
And then the buys, Giants, Cardinals, Buccaneers, and Panthers. That's your week 11 slate in the National Football League, which is zany time. College football, a couple of interesting matchups coming up here as the playoff rankings come out tomorrow. And we'll see who ascends. Like BYU should probably move up a little bit here because they were ninth last week, but they'd be the 4 seed because they'd win the Big 12. But Tennessee against Georgia. In Athens, Georgia's
elimination game.
They're fighting for their lives in that ball game there. And then you've got, where was it? I just had it in front of me. What did I do with this game? I'm sorry, et cetera. Virginia's at Notre Dame. I think this could be an interesting game as well. Yep. Virginia's, they're a scrappy little bunch. They're 23-point underdogs in that game.
Well, and then Notre Dame plays Army Bob at Yankee Stadium the following week, which you'll have undefeated Army.
And then Oregon is at Wisconsin. Wisconsin, no O to stand up because Oregon's used to the cold weather. It's not like they'll be overwhelmed with any of that.
Wisconsin, they laid an egg. Who'd they get hammered by? Was it Iowa? I mean, they got blown away by somebody.
They lost to Iowa 42-10.
Yeah.
So chances of upsets pretty slim.
I would think.
Maryland is 5.5-point favorites against Rutgers, and we'll talk about that and more with Jeff Ehrman from InsideMDSports.com. Also talk about Willard's team off to a 3-0 start. Then it's a funhouse trip with Nolan McGraw. And then Inside Access takes over at 2 o'clock. And then we got all this stuff. MLB Network's redoing the 1979 season, which for, I don't know, six games in October was pretty awesome for the Orioles. Talk some Terps from InsideMDSports.com. A lot going on football and basketball-wise. Welcome back, Jeff Ehrman. Jeff, what's going on?
Not much. How are you guys?
Doing all right. We'll start with a little round ball here on the men's side. And okay. I guess bad news from a recruiting standpoint. Marcus Jackson, who we talked about a couple months ago when he committed, Baltimore kid, played for a lot of high schools. It is what it is, I guess, in this landscape. He decommits. Athletic is all get out. One of the top recruits in the class of 25, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Why the decommit? And do we have a better chance of seeing Marcus Jackson or Janet Jackson play for Maryland in 2025?
You know, Bob, it might be Janet on that one. I think, you know, he didn't come out publicly and explain the reason. We did report from someone very close to him. And, you know, it seems like these days NIL is a big part of the equation. And you can probably safely assume it was a big part of this equation with his decommitment. So, you know, they've said that they'll still consider Maryland, but I'm not sure if Maryland will even, like, pursue him again.
All right, let's talk about this year's team since we're in the here and now. There, 3-0. Julian Reese had a big day, or a big night against Florida A&M, and it was Rodney Rice and Derek Queen in the opener. So three different games, Jeff. Three different stars, if you want to talk about it that way. So through three, are we going to see a balanced Maryland team? I mean, Jameer Young was kind of a one-man gang oftentimes offensively. Are we seeing through three games, once they get to Marquette on Friday, what this Maryland team could really be about, where everyone gets to eat a little bit here?
Yeah, they're a lot more balanced. I mean, for anyone who suffered through that slog of a season last year, that, as I've written this, but it felt like, you know, it was a year long just because of the offensive struggles, just relying on one guy in Jameer Young. And as you mentioned, three different leading scorers in three games. They have a lot more firepower, a lot more balance. So that's by far the best news so far. But, you know, as we know, they've played three really, you know, lower level teams so far.
Jeff Ehrman, InsideMDSports.com, joining us here on The Fan. So Kevin Willard and his crew get the Golden Eagles of Marquette coming up Friday night. How much of a litmus test, and we're not even at Thanksgiving yet, Jeff, obviously, but how much of a litmus test will this game be against Marquette in a couple of
days? Yeah, I don't know if it's a litmus test as much as an opportunity to build momentum, because like you said, it's just so early that they're going to be a completely different team. Well, not completely different, but they'll be considerably different in a month just when you're integrating all these kind of pieces together, including Derek Queen and all the transfers at guard. So, you know, but it is an opportunity to kind of build the buzz back up, at least around the program. You know, you've seen the photos of the arena the first three games, pretty sparsely attended. You know, that big game vibe is something that was missing all of last year. So, you know, this is a chance, I think, for them to really get some people back on the bandwagon.
Now, Jeff, what your impressions of the Oregon game? Because it was closer than I thought. I thought the Terps competed pretty well in that one.
How did I know Vinny would go straight to a football question?
like a Dylan Gabriel pass against the Maryland secondary.
Yeah, I mean, Vinny, I thought they played harder than they have in some of those other ugly recent losses. The effort appeared to be there. The defense, the scheme was a lot better. They weren't giving up all the deep balls and everything. But, you know, the offensive line, to me, remains by far the biggest problem. They're just not opening up any holes on the ground. As you know, I mean, literally, like clockwork, every week you look at the box score and it says something along the lines of 28 carries for 74 yards or something like that for the team. So not running the ball. And then you know, the pressure got to Billy Edwards, obviously, and three turnovers to nothing. So I thought it was a good, you know, they're still fighting, but obviously now it's must-win time now against Rutgers.
Now, and Rutgers had a big win. I was watching some of that against Minnesota, and it was shocking to see that, you know, and the Terps have to win that for any chance at a bowl.
Yeah, you got to win that one, and then, you know, probably beat Iowa. Obviously, Penn State is going to be a spread like the Oregon game. You know, they've kind of flip-flopped a lot with Rutgers in recent years, had a lot of close games. I think it's a hard one to handicap, you know, because Rutgers has looked really good at times and then awful at others. Maryland has obviously struggled through most of the Big Ten season. So any hopes you have of kind of salvaging things is hinges on winning this.
Has the schedule or has the record, has it hindered the football recruiting, the commits at all?
No, it really hasn't. You know, I think the key thing to keep in mind about this recruiting class is that they have all kind of bonded together over this vision of building something together at Maryland beyond what's happened, you know, what the program has accomplished recently. So because of that, because they have Malik Washington, a ringleader of kind of the whole class, they haven't really had too many issues. As you know, now, you know, separate from the on-field results, NIL, as I mentioned with Marcus Jackson, remains a factor, so you can just never write off the possibility of somebody getting a big check and going somewhere. But I don't think the on-field struggles this year have had an effect on the commits.
Jeff Ehrman, InsideMDSports.com, joining us here, Vinny at Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Jeff, real quick, staying with football. The record is obviously disappointing based on Mike Locksley's proclamation. This is the best team he's had since he's been there. What's been the most disappointing part of this season as they've, you know, right now sit below 500 on the outside of the bowl cycle? And there's 8 billion bowl games nowadays.
Yeah, you know, I think it's been, again, the offensive line, it's just been, I don't know if I'd call that a disappointment, though, because we knew going into the season they were breaking in 5 new starters, and you just hoped it would be put together a little bit better. Obviously, you know, Locksley parted with his offensive line coach, Brian Braswell, a couple weeks ago. And then defense, you know, I thought the defense, especially the front 7, that would probably be the biggest disappointment. They have so much talent and experience there, but, you know, they just don't have a lot of enough dynamic athletes. So they haven't, the pass rush has been pretty weak, and that has kind of magnified the issues with all the young cornerbacks that they have playing.
All right, Jeff, what's happening at InsideMDSports.com here on this Turn It Up Tuesday?
All kinds of stuff. Maryland basketball, football, recruiting. We just published the latest in our 1 million Derek Queen stories. So hop on the site if you're a big Terps fan.
And as long as they're all positive, we're cool with that. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Jeff, appreciate the time. Enjoy the rest of your day. We'll catch up with you soon.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
There's Jeff Ehrman, everybody. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back, reset the program for you, take a trip through the funhouse. Nolan McGraw, if you want to join us, you can. It's 410-583-1057. Inside Access takes over at 2 o'clock. The Ravens are favored at Pittsburgh. Is that point spread appropriate? Now, the Ravens got Pittsburgh. Alex Highsmith, walking boot, going to be out for at least a couple of weeks.
Yep.
So there's one less defensive standout that we're going to have to worry about if you're the Ravens offense here. Todd Monk and Lamar Jackson, and in particular, the offensive line.
Well, and then Dante Jackson, the corner, got hurt. So if he's out, that'll be big also. So if they've got 2 starters out. Now, they went and got Preston Smith at the trade deadline from Green Bay.
Right.
So, you know, he's not going to be Highsmith, which is, to me, that's a big boost. And Washington, they went after the other corner. I think it was, Cameron Sutton? They went after him big time.
Yeah, McLaurin had a big day.
Yeah.
For the Commanders.
So, got a chance. I mean, they've got a big-time chance. You know, because all of a sudden then you just got to be able to block Watt. Maybe, you know, you don't have to give help to both sides. But I don't think, you know, you're not giving help to Ronnie Stanley. Ronnie, you got it. You got to take care of whoever's on your side. Then we'll give help to Rosengarten because he's going to definitely need it probably on every pass play.
Now, a couple of weeks back, the Ravens traded for Deontay Johnson, yeah. Former Steeler. Hasn't really done much in Baltimore during his very brief time in a Ravens uniform. John Harbaugh was asked by our own Cordell Woodland, Deontay maybe getting some action moving forward.
Absolutely. See, same kind of conversation, and he's been here now for somewhat of a number of practices. I mean, last week we only had 1 practice. That was really where he got a chance to move around, but I would expect that to ramp up, yes.
I mean, if he ramps up, who ramps down? Because I think Tylan Wallace earned some more.
He's their leading receiver against Cincinnati.
So, I mean, because right now you've got your three regulars. Tylan Wallace would be four, and then Deontay Johnson would be five. And if Likely's back too, you know, then you've got all those tight ends also. So,
and Aguilar gets his play a game.
Yeah, and then Keaton Mitchell's going to get some too. So I don't – I mean, he may get more reps. I don't know. But, I mean, I don't know how he gets many balls. He caught the one, and then he had another one that where he was wide open and he fell down.
Now, tomorrow's film study, we'll talk about the Ravens' offense. Brilliant against Cincinnati. Ravens' defense, not so much. Ahead of this matchup with the Pittsburgh Steelers, who are now more potent throwing the football because Russell Wilson, George Pickens have a relationship, and Mike Williams has added to the equation. And we were talking off the air, something tells me Pat Freiermuth's going to be somebody to keep an eye on, too, with this game. But Nolan, are you ready to take a trip through that funhouse of yours on the, out the door here?
Quick Draws Funhouse. The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that Quick Draw.
105.7 The Fan.
First texter here says, if the Ravens-Steelers rivalry is going to be reignited, this would be the game that does it. The stakes are high. I'll admit I've grown bored with the matchups against Pittsburgh in recent years, not even because the Ravens are losing them, more so because Lamar hasn't even played in many of them.
Yeah, I think, and there's a lot on the line now. I mean, you got 7-3, 7-2. It's big, good defense, great offense. I think it's got the makings of quite a game.
And the loser
is not done.
Can probably say bye-bye to the number one seed.
Oh, yeah.
However, depending on what Buffalo does against Kansas City this week.
Chris here says, I kind of get the feeling, speaking of the Chiefs here, that once they suffer that first loss, it could be a snowball effect, maybe losing multiple, three of their next four. Just too many close calls so far. It feels like maybe karma could come back to bite them.
I don't disagree with that at all. You know, I mean, yeah, I can see them. If they lost a couple in a row, I can see it. But eventually they're going to get back, you know, some of their injured guys. Marquise will be back at some point and Pacheco. So, yeah, they're going to get better.
I'm looking at their schedule now. Obviously, the Bills match up this week. That's the big one, the flashy one. But immediately after that, Panthers, Raiders, Chargers, a division game.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, Steelers and Texans, the only, and they'll face the Broncos again. Maybe they get the job done next time. I don't know.
And yeah. Steelers Texans, that's on that short Christmas week. They play, what's that, Pittsburgh on
Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, they play Houston on Saturday because Ravens play Pittsburgh, and then they play, Ravens play at Houston.
And the Steelers have the Chiefs.
Kansas City. Correct.
Well, that'll be a good one for Christmas.
Yeah.
Texter here talking Terps says, on another note, all the hype around Derek Queen, what happened these past two games? I seem to have missed the flashy stats. The media and fan base were breathing heavily after the 2020 game against that powerhouse Manhattan.
Just a couple people were, not the entirety of the fan base. Those with a clue, myself. Just put it in perspective. It was a nice debut, by the way. He had 10, 13 points last night.
11. Yep.
11. It's a balanced, it's a more balanced team. Three games, three different leading scores. We're dogging him already? Jesus.
Gives you 11 last night, 8 the game prior. From a freshman? I'll take that. This texter here, speaking of the Terps, we'll go to football. This one says, need to see more opportunities for Bo Braid. He was good enough to make the team, or the 53-man roster, would be thrown into the fire if there were injuries ahead of him. Let the kid play.
Well, Kane's been making a lot of plays on special teams, and Bo Braid has been playing on a special teams. Now, watching Bo Braid out there, he doesn't. He's much better closer to the line of scrimmage. So I'm guessing that if Hamilton was out, that would be his, that may be his best chance. But I mean, he's not going to be a guy that's going to play deep center field because he doesn't have that kind of range.
And one last one here. This texter says, to play devil's advocate a bit about the whole Zach Orr situation, experience can't be the end-all be-all for coaching hires. Mike McDonald didn't have a ton of experience when the Ravens went with him. It ultimately worked out well.
Well, he'd been in the organization as a coach.
Mm-hmm. And he had the 1 year at Michigan
as a coordinator.
As a play caller, right.
Yeah. And then, you know, came back to be that play caller. So Zach Orr went from player to, you know, linebacker coach to coordinator. I mean, that's not a lot of, you know, never called a play till he played against Andy Reid.
How'd that go?
Not good.
It's 5887 The Fan. We're back tomorrow. Where are we at? We're at the Chick-fil-A on Joppa Road in Towson tomorrow.
The new one in Towson. They just built it. Come on out. There's some special giveaways from what I understand. If you're one of the first people in attendance, starting at 10 a.m. when we're going to be there, maybe some free food could be in order. So come on out. Make sure you're there by 10. Plenty of giveaways, and we'll be there.
It's 5887 The Fan. See you tomorrow, everybody. Inside Access coming up next for Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato. I'm Bob Haney. Stay safe, stay healthy. Talk to you in the morning. For now, class dismissed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.